No human dreams of relaxing on the shores of Novaya Zemlya. It's an isolated group of islands in the Arctic Ocean, north of Russia, that's best known as a Soviet testing site for nuclear weapons. Yet a growing flock of pink-footed geese have begun to make this militarized zone their summer home. Pink-footed geese spend the winter in the British Isles and Western Europe. The UK population migrates to Iceland and Greenland, but the rest breed exclusively on the Norwegian island of Svalbard. Or at least they used to. In 2018 and 19, researchers attached GPS trackers to 21 pink-footed geese in Finland. To their surprise, half of them turned up on the Russian islands, roughly 600 miles east of Svalbard. This region was once too cold for the geese to raise young. But climate change and increased competition for food may have made Novaya Zemlya a compelling alternative. Researchers suspect, though, that these geese didn't stumble upon this new migration route on their own. Pink-footed geese sometimes mingle with taiga bean geese, a species that visits Novaya Zemlya when it's time to molt each spring. It's possible that the pink-footed geese followed their lead, which could prove to be a rare example of cultural knowledge being transmitted between species. Birds of a feather, indeed. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
CGSF would like to suggest that the following program may use strong language and discuss topics that may be sensitive for those within earshot. Listener discretion is advised.
All right. CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting off of Burnaby Mountain here at Simon Fraser University. As always, we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kequitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Two territories. You may also be listening to this program on a Wednesday night at 10 p.m. in Lethbridge, Alberta. CKXU, holy cow, it's coming all back to me, which broadcasts on Treaty 7 land, Blackfoot territory. Okay, very cool. Yeah, 60-minute stage dive here. Going to be playing a lot of heavy music for you all. If you've been tuning in the last few weeks, you know I've been losing my voice. My voice feels very good today, so we're sitting pretty. I have an audience for the first time in my entire life out in the lobby. Very kind souls sticking around till 8:05 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Craziness. Okay, so that first band you heard, the only song you heard so far this hour, was Unnatural by Stale. It's off of the album Days Like These. Now, they're a Vancouver band, and we were actually lucky enough to have Stale in for a live session on the weekend. It was really good, and the production is in post, so you should be able to hear that very, very soon. Stay tuned to CJSF to hopefully catch that live session. But a very handsome and smart man by the name of Matt conducted an interview with these guys, and I wanted to play it because I think Matt does great work. He's a very talented individual here at the radio station, and I think Stale's a great band. And so we're going to listen to a little interview here. First time on CJSF, and for my show, obviously. There's lots of interviews on CJSF. But then, yeah, after we come back from the interview, I'm going to play a bunch of hardcore music because good friends over in Calgary, DOA Promotions, announced their festival lineup for this year. The Major League Bowl is back for third strike. We got bands such as Prowl coming to town, bands such as Meantime, bands such as Race Traitor. There's a lot of others that I will play later, but that's your tease. So I'm going to turn it over to Matt right now for the interview, and stay with me because you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Hello, my name is Matthew with CJSF Radio 90.1 FM. I am here with the band Stale.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey.
They just finished their Studio 6 session, and we're now just going to do a quick introduction to get everyone hyped up to watch and listen to this. Can you guys introduce yourselves and what instruments you play?
Hey, I'm Eric. I play bass and singer as well.
I'm Trevor. I'm the drummer, and I also sing.
Aaron, and I sing and play guitar.
Cool, cool. So I was first introduced to you guys when you were opening for Ivy Gardens, and something that you guys all just kind of mentioned is that you guys all take turns singing. I'm curious, how does that affect your guys' writing process?
I feel like it's just you got to keep it in mind, I guess, the whole time, because you're building vocals not just for one person. You're kind of building it for other people as well, obviously, clearly. It's cool just kind of thinking of like the skills that each of us have with our voices and kind of finding those golden moments to kind of, this would be a great moment for Aaron to really like belt out something emotional here, and a great moment for Trevor to have a really strong scream part. And yeah, it's just kind of like considering that in the process of writing. Yeah.
So do you guys all write lyrics like together then, or is it like one person kind of writes lyrics and then you all cut up and divvy?
Different every time. I think when we first started, it would be like, you know, someone would come up with a line, but I think for the first chunk of our writings, it's been Eric a lot, he is really good at kind of imagining our voices and what we could do all together and stuff. So he brings a lot of the ideas to the table, and we hash them out. And I think we're always open to each other's ideas, but I think Eric's got a lot of the juice in these first few songs that we've been writing.
Bring a little juice in, yeah. And then we kind of just build off of that. Get the baseline of, like, this is what we have the idea of, and then we kind of, well, I can do this even cooler if I do it this way. And then, yeah.
Workshop all together. It's always kind of the three sets of hands coming in and making it the final product.
Yeah. Nice. No, that's awesome. So kind of building on this, in November 2024, you guys put out Days Like This, you know, EP single. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me as I was listening to it was it's got this really dark, heavy, and super technical sound. Did you guys have a theme or an idea as you were building that EP up?
Honestly, it was just like three of the first four songs we had written, and we just wanted to get something in there. It felt right to kind of go right with our roots of writing. We'll pick our top favorite songs at the time. We only had, I think, like eight songs at the time when we did that. But yeah, like that's kind of a theme just with our music in general. We tend to come home or come to a practice space after work, and we're a little tired and run down, and we have this dream that we want to kind of live out, and a lot of the songs are that energy of like, let's just get that energy out that we want to express.
Dealing with a lot of dissatisfaction, I guess, coming out of work and you know, just screaming it out twice a week.
No, that's totally fair. Yeah, like the as you guys were saying, you guys are like weekend warrioring, so that totally makes sense.
Yeah, it's, instead of screaming into a pillow, we just scream into microphones.
Into microphones, and now that's good. That's interesting because I was looking at you guys' Bandcamp page, and your tags include post-punk, post-hardcore, post-rock, and post-Malone. Shout out on that one.
I forgot about that.
I'm just curious. Like, how would you guys describe your sound then?
I don't know. It's tricky. I mean, I'm always like really bad when it comes to genres and things like that. Like, really, it's a combination of all of the things that we like, right? Like, I don't know. We love, you know, Tool. We love Refused. We love bands that like give a lot of high energy and like more musicianship. But at the same time, we're all, you know, sensitive boys. We're all sweethearts. We listen to Elliott Smith. We listen to, you know, singer-songwriters. And like we want to have a broad spectrum of sound. I think it usually comes across a little bit more in the post-hardcore realm, just because that's like, I don't know, maybe an influence of like kind of what the bass and drums are doing. But I don't know. It's really tough.
Grunge was a word that we used a lot in the beginning, but we also found ourselves not necessarily sounding like a lot of grunge bands or you know, taking those song structures. I think there's a lot of elements that we bring to the table with Stale, so it was hard for us. I think post-hardcore just covers a really broad range, and a lot of bands that start out really heavy, and maybe they get a little bit lighter over the years, they seem to nestle into the post-hardcore genre, so we just kind of settled with that one, I think, but it might not be true.
Yeah,
I think basically, like, we like putting on a good show. We like making people want to jump around and dance, and we kind of just pull from whatever melodies and rhythms that kind of give that effect to us when we're playing it, and we want to make people feel that way inside and release themselves a bit as well, and that's kind of... Yeah. It just has fit in post.
Very cathartic, I think, to just let it all out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're trying to do, is just stick to what we like in music, but also just kind of discover ourselves as well and try to stay as true to ourselves as possible.
Oh, okay, that's totally fair. So, Aaron, then, you know, because you were just talking about discovering yourselves and all this stuff, I kind of have to ask you a question about some of your earlier work. Specifically, I want to ask you a little bit about Lion in a Fire and Gray Eyes. What can you tell us about some of that stuff?
Digging deep. Well, Gray Eyes was the last band I was in Ontario, my partner and I decided to move out west, so I just had to kind of make that decision between, you know, am I going with the love of my life or am I going with the love of my life? So I went out west, and you know, I love those guys a lot. It was Mike and Matt, but I made the decision to come out west because I was kind of residing in the same place for a long time. So I just took the leap, took the risk, and didn't really have any prospects for music out here. I was just kind of, I think I was off stage for maybe 5 years before these guys came out. But yeah, Gray Eyes was kind of my maybe first attempt at this kind of band.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was three people and grungy, kind of posty, post-hardcore-y stuff, but I feel like this band has taken a totally different direction, but Those are my homies.
Fair.
And Lion in the Fire, I was just, you know, I make a lot of music at home, a lot of singer-songwriter stuff, or sometimes it can be, I mean, just electronic. I experiment with a lot of different genres, and I didn't know where to put it, so Lion in the Fire was kind of something that I started, and then as I discovered myself, I realized, you know, I could just kind of be myself, Aaron Mangoff, and release music under that, so I kind of just put the kibosh on Lion in the Fire and deleted all that stuff and moved on.
Not well enough. I did find it, so.
yeah. I forgot the passwords, okay? Okay,
fair enough. So, with that being said, Eric and Trevor, I got to ask you a question about Civet Jenny Horror. What can you guys tell me about that?
That's crazy.
That's our high school band. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before we moved out. We were playing in my parents' garage, getting noise complaints and annoying them to no end. Yeah. But that's like our first dream, basically. That was what we were doing when we were kids. We worked on that for a lot of years before we found a different band and then moved out in Ontario, and then that band collapsed immediately. But
it's like our high school band, basically.
Our
first love.
Yeah, and these guys have known each other forever, so I'm just like the third wheel in the trio. Just like, God, what you guys have is special. Can I be a part?
No, that's totally fair, because I saw you guys did a junior achievement performance, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think my dad filmed that.
Yeah. Daryl Day, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What is happening?
Oh, man. This is the city that Nardwar built, so we have to do this. Yeah. You know? As he would say, you guys are a stale band. We do need to know this. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a good performance. It was fun. I think that was like one of our last ones, too. And then we disbanded. Our guitar player for the next band was in the audience of that performance, and he stole us. And then we moved to Ontario, and then he broke up the band.
Now you're here. No, that's like a really good segue, because I want to ask, like, how did the Stale Band come together in Vancouver? Like, did you guys all, or I guess you guys knew each other a little bit before from Ontario? Like, walk us through that.
We were on tour with our past band Rosewood Annie, and Aaron was on tour with Starved at the Root at the time, and we had one or two shows together. But the first time, how many shows did we do together?
I think
the tour?
We just met halfway through the little tour, and we played at least
like three or four stops.
Yeah, I guess more that was Starved at the Root's tour. We hopped on to play a couple gigs, is what I should say.
On the way back, from Ontario, we went out east and met them. On the way back, essentially, and we played shows all the way back to Ontario.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we played New Brunswick. We met in a horrible place. Maybe we can save that story for later. Yeah. I don't know. But,
The next interview, you guys can get into that one.
You'll have to figure that one out. Yeah.
Next time. Oh, okay. So you guys met with, Aaron's other older band, Starved at the Root, and that was kind of how you guys started.
Yeah. And that's how we got to know each other, and then we were kind of just local bands together in Barrie, Ontario, where I guess I was in Orillia, but I lived in Barrie and you guys resided.
And play shows together sometimes.
Yeah,
and
Gray Eyes hang out. And Rosewood. And grab some drinks.
Hang out at Aaron's place and chat late into the morning sometimes. And
And then when I made the move out, I saw that Rosewood had kind of, I don't know if they were kind of going through different member changes. I'll leave that to you guys, your business. But I basically took the opportunity, knowing that they had moved from out east to Ontario to play music. I knew they would maybe do an even bigger dive and go all the way out west. So I was just working in a warehouse job, and I just reached out to Trevor. I think I just kind of had the idea, like, hey, if you guys make it out here, we could probably all work at the same place and give it one real go. So here we are four years later now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess, so if I got the timeline right, the band was officially formed in 2022, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's when we arrived in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. Or is it 2021?
I don't know.
I don't know what we're doing.
No, I think it was 2021, and then once we got the ball rolling, we just kind of said the band was born.
Our first jam was in, I think, November of 2021, and then we were just hiding in a hole for years.
Just trying to make music and figure out what
that is. Figure out what we're doing.
But honestly, like, the first riff that like Aaron came up with, we still play that song like on any set that we set up. So it's a lot of our music has stuck with us from the beginning. We tend to like nail into the coffin just like every song. We make sure that if it's not working, we get rid of it, and if it is, then we really like stick to it. So we've kind of, anything we've made, we haven't actually like set aside. It's just been
fair. So do you guys find that like some of the songs or ideas from before you bring back up into new stuff, or
probably like subconsciously little riffs will make their way back in, but like we just spent a lot of time constructing like what we think is like the perfect little nugget basically, and that's kind of it.
Nice. So then like, how have you guys found the Vancouver scene? Like, now that you've been here for a few years, we were talking earlier before the show about how, Eric, you were saying it's kind of hard to find shows that you guys really slot into. Like, how's the scene treating you guys?
Yeah, I feel like the scene here is great. There's so much good music, so many great bands, and we always have a blast meeting new bands and going to new venues. But we've had, like, a rare set of gigs that were like perfect for our kind of genre that we play, and some of those, sadly, like Grey Lab was like probably like the best spot for us. We had amazing shows there, and it was always like the bills made perfect sense for like who was playing in what order and whatnot. But that place kind of died. But there's more places around, but yeah, it's just kind of working hard to get on those bills that we want to get on, and yeah, that's really it.
No, that's fair. So are there any bands that you guys have been watching or listening to recently in the Vancouver scene or in the Canadian scene that you guys want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'll say Gadfly. They practice right next to us, and they're awesome. Super cool. Like, really cool. Worth checking out. Sundress is really cool, too. We played a couple shows with them this past year, and they're great. They're just great.
I don't know if they're disbanded. Maybe they got back, but I was there with Chain Whip had a show with Pack Rat, I believe, and both of those bands were really sick. I was really blown away just by like just the raw punk energy. I really like love punk rock. No Means No was one of my favorite bands growing up, so to see like local bands kind of still doing that, I think is awesome. And then also a band called Banana House. I really enjoyed them. Yeah, they blew me away.
I think for me, Luella. I really like Luella, and they, from the get-go, they were really kind to us, and they were actually the first band to get us into Grey Lab, I think. Mm-hmm. And, it was natural, and I love their music. I listen to it all the time, and they've got new stuff coming out, so I think if you don't know Luella, definitely look them up. And then I was at the Rickshaw, and I saw Emma Golding, and that's some heavy stuff. It's pretty crazy. They have a good time live. There's like dance music between songs, and it's just grooving. And then super chaotic heavy music is what they do. So, those will be my two picks.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. This is Stale, the band. We're going to be releasing, or is it the band Stale? Which one do you guys?
It's just Stale.
Stale.
All right, cool. So this is Stale on CJSF Radio. We're going to be dropping that Studio 6 some point in the near future, but this is part of the promo run. Just want to thank you guys again for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man.
All right, I want to thank Matt very much for conducting that interview with the band Stale. Again, they are local to Vancouver, so if you are listening to this and you find yourself local to Vancouver, look them up. I'm sure they're playing lots of gigs coming up soon, but I'm not cool enough to know when those are, so just go to their Instagram or something rad. Okay, I want to play some music because you guys just listened to talking for like 20 minutes and we don't need to waste each other's time. This next song is really cool. It's called Nothing by Lust. This song goes out to my boy Court back in Lethbridge, who will be going to MLB. He's also a great photographer. Check out Flamesgrain on Instagram. And he liked this band, and that means I like this band because Court is my lover.
I haul your ungrateful ass to comfort and safety. See to your wounds, feed you, provide a roof, a clean bed, vest you with money, pay me by fucking my Austrian wife?
I cannot do this anymore.